Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi everybody, and welcome to this bonus episode of Wild Wild Podcast. And I'm very excited to be able to do an episode where we talk about one of my all-time favourite films, Antonio Margheriti's Castle of Blood, aka Danza Macabre or Danse Macabre, or lots of other things as well, I'm sure.
Castle of Blood. This is the shocking drama of a young writer who disregards the warning of his master, Edgar Allan Poe, and accepts a wager to pass the night in a castle of mystery and legend. The Castle of Blood. No one has ever witnessed and survived the awesome secrets, the ghostly events of this castle of the damned.
I've dreamed of this night. At last I can go away with the man I love.
You can't leave, Elizabeth. You're trapped in this castle.
Here the dead rise from their tombs once a year to repeat their hideous crimes of murder and passion.
Kiss me. Oh, yes, my dearest. Keep on embracing me. I want to absorb the warmth of your body.
For a moment, I thought that your heart had stopped.
I'm dead, Alan.
No! No, Herbert, no! No!
Every death is repeated tonight. Come.
No! No, Elizabeth.
Edgar Allan Poe's most gripping, chilling drama of horror and suspense, Castle of Blood.
And the reason that we're talking about this today is because I'm very excited to welcome onto the podcast Patricia Barsanti of the, and I'm going to, the pronunciation is going to be terrible here, of the Société Cinématographique Lyre, something like, you can say this better than me, but anyway. And you're working on a restoration of Castle of Blood, which is why we are talking today. So could you just introduce yourself a bit better than I did and tell us a bit about you and what you do at the Society?
Yes, so Société Cinématographique Lyre, which was named after the instrument, the musical instrument, the lyra. In 1952, my father was had been in France for a few years from Italy, and was starting to work in the film business, and using the fact that the co-production agreement with Italy was very fresh then, it was from 1948, he started doing co-productions and did that for about 15 years. and then all sorts of other things in the film industry. Then he died in 87, and my mom and I have taken over successfully after him, and have devoted ourselves to two things. First is making sure that the films he produced were still seen today, and acquiring also other titles. As part of the work to make sure that the films from the 1960s, 1940s, 19 whatever are still seen today, there is a lot that goes into restoring them. Because they have weathered many years of sometimes neglect, or in any case of storage, and also because with the advent of the digital age, we find ourselves being asked for a quality of image that was not found in earlier years. So I'm really excited to be talking to you, also because you have been one of the supporters of our crowdfunding campaign to restore Castle of Blood, or Danse Macabre, which is a French and Italian co-production, as you said, by Antonio Margheriti. And so we are about to show it to the public, both in France first, and then also in the United States.
Oh, great news.
We are very excited about that partnership too, and it's a beautiful, beautiful restoration. And I'm not saying this because I sort of oversaw it, but because the technical people who worked on it did a really great job. So we can discuss about that if you want.
Yeah, so the crowdfunding campaign, you started that now about a year ago, 18 months ago, something like that? And you've hit, I was looking at the site again today, which is on proart.fr. And I can see that you are 103% of your funding target. So you've hit your target, which is great.
Yes.
So film restoration, what kind of, because I've seen the print that Severin previously released of a version of Castle of Blood they had that was very scratchy and damaged. And obviously you were going right back to the negative. What kind of condition was that in?
Yes. So as you rightly said, when we are restoring a film, we try to go back to the original elements as much as is possible. Sometimes they are damaged beyond repair, but in any case, the definition that we find on the original negative is always so much better than any of the other elements that have been made from that negative. And we always try to recover as much as we can from the negative. In the case of Castle of Blood, the negative was in, I would say, moderate conditions. There were scratches, there was a lot of wear and tear from the years, from the machines, from various things. But it was overall our main source. We have also used a lavender, I think that's what you say, like a dub positive that comes from the negative. And we've also used a dub negative when there was a couple of little bits of scenes. It wasn't even a proper scene in itself, but little bits that we found we couldn't find on the negative, and which were accessible on other elements. So we used those. We tried to restore the longest possible version that had been seen by publics of various nationalities before in Europe, because as you know, the American version was quite different and mostly had a lot of scenes cut. So we restored the European version, which was the one that Margheriti wanted. We went back also to what he proposed to the censorship in Italy.
Okay.
So we hope that we have it all, but we really looked around for any other element. And what we're going to do is put on a bonus on the DVD that will come out in France with Arthur's film. The editor will put a small reel that we found, which is a scene that was shot in one go by Margheriti, but was only inserted in little bits.
Oh, interesting.
You will have the full scene in the Blu-ray DVD.
Wow. Okay, that's exciting. Yeah, because obviously there were particularly elements of sort of sex and nudity in the film, which presumably were missing from certain versions.
That's right. Yes, I think the Americans were not too happy with those. Yes. Yes, that's right. And that is the one that we found. So what we chose to do is there was an interesting bit of information here is that the Italian version had a little bit of that scene, starting, say, at point A and finishing at point C. The French version started a bit later, so let's say B was the entry point, but would finish, went to the end. Both scenes in both versions had the same length. They just didn't start at the same point. So what we did was we restored the total that was seen either side of the Alps so that the viewers would be in a similar position as those that had discovered the film in 1963. Because one of the aims of restoring is not to make a new film, it's to enable the viewers to just see the film as it was originally meant, but better.
Yeah, I saw, I think you put an image in one of your newsletters of how you'd found in the negative there was the imprint of an insect.
Yes, my blue insect.
Yeah.
Apparently, I learned at this in this occasion, because I was very excited, apparently it is something that is quite usual to be found in the various labs with which I've collaborated for various restorations. They all said that they had a collection of insects, but they also all said that their insects were not so colorful as mine. So
right.
I'm very pleased about
very good.
That.
So you've raised this money. And I mean, I don't know how much it costs, but film restoration is presumably quite an expensive process. So why did you choose this film, which is perhaps not as well known and not as commercially sort of instantly recognizable as some other films, when it costs so much money to do it?
It was a conjunction of things. Yes, you're right. Film restoration, there are all sorts of restorations. Today, you can digitize in HD, in high resolution, and some people will pass that as a restoration, but it's only basically digitizing the film in a high resolution. You can work from that and do some improvements on the image, and it is a partial restoration. What we have done is really start from the negative, work on the negative to try to better its condition as well for preservation purposes, so that already takes some time, and then we have scanned it image by image and worked on the resulting files in 4K because what we wanted to do is, considering the state of the original negative, we wanted to be able to do a preservation at the end of our restoration as well. So why do you choose a particular movie over others? Well, I have, in my catalogue, I have some classics from the 1960s, such as La Ventura or Hands Over the City, Mani sulla Città, or La Viaccia, or Il Bel Antonio. Those I have restored already over the years, in the last few years, La Ventura in 2020, Mani sulla Città just recently. It's just come out for the centenary of Francesco Rosi last November. So I'm also trying to devote part of my energy to films that are genre films, because I think they were a very important part of the cinema industry, in particular in the 1960s, 1970s. They were, in effect, probably what managed to finance the cinema industry then. Most of the classics today were total flops at the time of their issue. You know, Il Gattopardo, La Dolce Vita did not work with the public, when it was not appreciated, were not appreciated. What made the film industry go forward were historical movies, I think you call them swashbuckling.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sword and Sandal,
yeah.
That's right. That's a lovely name. And also, of course, thrillers and gialli and horror films, fantastic movies, fantasy films. So all these films contributed to the history of cinema and to enabling us to see movies today again. So I think they're important. So that's the reason why I restored the Black Sabbath, I Tre Volti della Paura, also a co-production from my father. We have worked on Gli Invasori, which is the, I think in English it's Eric the Viking.
Yeah, Eric the Conqueror, is it?
It's Mario Bava's, anyway, yeah. Yes, that's right. And so it was a normal, I would say a normal shift to go for Castle of Blood then. And I will continue also this work on other genre films that are in our catalogue. It so happened that I had this editor, Artus Film from France, who had been asking me for Castle of Blood for quite a few years. And I told him that I was not having enough money to do any work on it, and also the negative was difficult to get access to. But then another editor from France also requested it, and I just thought, well, maybe there is a current interest with a film, and maybe we can do something. And then I went to see both the CNC, which is the Center for National Cinema in France, which has been helping companies such as mine over the last few years to restore films. And they were interested, which I must admit I wasn't so sure about earlier, just because, as you say, it's not a classic film. And also I went to see the Cinémathèque Française, and they were very enthusiastic about restoring and participating in the restoration. So all in all, these three aspects basically came all together. I knew that I needed more money than what these two entities would give me, and that my private funds, I mean, this is a very, my company is very small. It's family run and it's independent, but it's small. So I knew that the private funds that I could access would not suffice. Which is why I had the idea to do a crowdfunding. And the crowdfunding was, as you said, successful and has enabled to lower the amount that my company has to put forward, which in turn means that I can do other restorations. Wow. So I'm very pleased about that.
Last weekend, I received the tote bag.
Oh, yes.
With the image on it. So yeah, you're offering, and I think people can people still get these? There are T-shirts and tote bags.
At present, they are on sale at the bookshop of Cinémathèque Française in Paris.
Okay.
So I haven't put any on sale online because, I didn't have very many made.
Right.
But yes, but it the nice thing is that did you like the poster that is on it?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's so somebody has created this painting especially for your campaign.
It's a student, an art student, Milana Kamieva from the Sorbonne in Paris, and the cinema section of the Sorbonne. And I, last March, for a whole month, I ran a special competition among students at the Sorbonne, asking them to see the film and then create a work that would be used for the goodies of the campaign. And she, we had a jury of eight people, four students and four adults, four women and four men, four professionals of graphics, design, and all sorts of things, and four amateurs. And so we tried to make it very balanced, and they all decided all together that this was the one work out of the many very good works we had, which really struck them as the best. So, and it does look good on the tote bags. I don't know if your auditors could see it, but
I'll post out an image of this. So if people are passing through Paris, they can come and get one from the Cinémathèque Française.
Yes, that's right, and maybe we can edit more, but at the moment it's a small quantity.
Sure. Yeah. Perhaps we should have started with this question, really. Maybe if people haven't seen Castle of Blood before, could you just give us a brief description of the film and why you think people should see this movie?
Okay. I'm going to try not to reveal anything.
Well, so. Yes.
So Castle of Blood is inspired by the universe of Edgar Poe. And in fact, the author appears as a character in the film and tells one of his stories to a captive audience of a journalist, English journalist, Alan Foster, and Lord Blackmore. And Lord Blackmore happens to have a haunted castle near London, where he invites Alan Foster to spend a night, the particular night of 1st of November, and challenges him to survive the night. Alan Foster is not a believer in anything surreal, so he takes up the challenge for a tenner and starts on his journey. Both Edgar Poe and Lord Blackmore bid them their goodbye at the gate of the castle, and from then Alan Foster will have a lot of encounters and some adventures, and well, that's it. I'm not going to say anything more.
it is full of surprises, this film.
Yes. It is. It's interesting because it tells the stories of the various people that he encounters. So you do have some flashbacks, and you have some very lovely music, and you have some haunting music as well, which is made with a special instrument, which is actually a saw. A metal saw.
Yeah.
Played by an artist. So yes, you have all sorts of characters. Everything is indoors from then on. Once he enters the house, everything happens indoors, but the interior decoration is reminds you of any Gothic castle that you could find in Scotland, for instance, I'm sure. And it's it was filmed in the, it was filmed obviously a lot in studios, but also just outside of north of Rome.
Oh, okay. I don't think I assumed that the whole thing was studio based, but yeah, so they do actually shoot some of it in a real castle.
The castle actually exists.
Okay.
Now it's not used as a castle anymore. It's a museum, but the castle actually exists.
Oh,
so
nice.
All the exteriors are real.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and of course Barbara Steele is one of the people or spirits that he meets.
She steals the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, she's definitely her lovely and intriguing and very mysterious self.
Mm.
With her incredible eyes, and she was really the muse of all those 1960s directors of fantasy films.
Yeah. So just to go back, you said, so your father, what was his name?
My father was Alberto Barsanti, and he was from Tuscany, and he came just after the war. Italy was, you know, in not good condition in terms of work. But there were a lot of young people like him who were going to go into cinema on either side of the Alps. I think as a way to show their vitality and their will to live. So they had a lot of great friendships and also working on, you know, coffee tables and very exciting time, I think.
You've mentioned a couple of films, but I wonder, could you tell us perhaps some of the other films that he co-produced or films that he works on that you have in your catalogue?
Yes, well, he was a great fan of historical movies. So from the 1958 to 1965, which is basically when the Sword and Sandals really were made, he participated in some of them, like one version of the Cleopatra story.
Oh, wow.
Anthony and Cleopatra. Then also some crosses between Sword and Sandal and fantasy. He also did an Archimede, you know, the story of the Syracuse siege by the Romans. And in fact, he had written a script for the Leonidas story, the Thermopylae, but it never got made.
Right.
So that was on that part. Then he did some comedies as well. There is one which is called Operazione San Gennaro, which is in Naples, and it's the story about two Americans who come to rob the Naples treasure in the cathedral, and they get help from one of the very great Italian actors of the time in comedy called Totò.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who was, you know, a Naples prince in real life. Yeah. So wow. Totò is in the film. And I haven't yet been able to work on that one, but it's on my list. Then there are other films that we have acquired since, for instance, some Bolognini films, Mauro Bolognini, who's one of the really great directors in Italy, but not so well known maybe as others, because every single film that he made in his long career was different, totally different from the previous ones. And so he doesn't have a definite style. But he's a great, great director. So Il Bell'Antonio is from Bolognini, of course, and that's one of the better knowns. But he's also had a great 1963 film with two French actors, Jacques Perrin and Alain Cuny, and then the Italian actress Rossana Schiaffino, called La Corruzione, The Corruption, which is a great film. And that's next on my list for restoration.
How exciting. So you would, I've seen it again in your newsletters, talk of screenings of the restoration of Castle of Blood. Have you, at some film festivals and things, did you show it at the Lumiere Festival?
Yes, it was shown at the Lumiere Festival. It was just finished, just fresh off the start of the finishing lines. And that was great, because I always ask the audiences when I can be at the screening whether they've seen the film before or not. And so the first, there were two screenings at Lumiere in October. The first one was with half the room was basically some professionals or people who were at Lumière for work reasons, and the other half were young people. And I would say about a bit less than half had seen the film before. But the second screening was with a room absolutely full of young people, and only one person had seen the film before. So it was a discovery for most of those spectators. And that is really what I love, because contrary to what one may think, every time we show an old film, we get new spectators that come out and love it. So it's great. It's great. That's exactly what our work is about, basically. Mm-hmm. Transmitting something from the past to the new audiences of the future.
And do you have any plans for other festivals like Bologna or anything like that?
Not Bologna, but we have had some interest from the Fantasy Festival in Montreal. And also the Shanghai Festival obviously in China. Mm-hmm. The film was also screened at Toute la Mémoire du Monde in Paris last March, and that was a great show up as well. Yeah.
How exciting. So you've mentioned a few things that you're planning on working on. Is there anything, are you able to tell us something the next project, if it's, or anything that you've got that you're currently working on as well, that's perhaps in the similar area?
Well, I'm working on two things right now. One is a genre film, which is called La Notte dei Dannati. And I'm not sure what the English title would be for that one. It's
the night of something.
Of the damned.
Okay.
The night of the damned.
Nice.
Yes, sounds promising. Yeah. That is one. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I'm also going to be working on The Corruption, the one I
Oh yeah. had. Excellent. Well, I'm so grateful for you taking this time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
I think this is a really important film and one that deserves to finally get attention. So I'm really pleased that you're doing this. And it's exciting that people will get the chance to buy it on Blu-ray and things when eventually it's, however long that takes, I don't know. But eventually it's coming, which is good news.
Yes, it should be, well, by the end of the year, we should have everything, because right now we're working on the bonuses.
Cool.
And we want the edition to have some really good stuff. So it takes a little bit of time, but it's worth the wait.
Mm, okay. Well, yeah, thanks so much, and really appreciate it. And good luck with everything that's going on.
Well, thank you very much, Adrian, for giving me the opportunity to talk to you and to your audience. And hello and good luck to everybody, and have a good day.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.